Welcome to Deep Dive Genre. Boris Bojachev is one of the most prolific German film composers. His work shows an impressive stylistic versatility as well as an outstanding dramaturgical sense. After graduating with honors in cello at the Richard Strauss Conservatory in Munich, Boris studied film music at the Konrad Wolf Academy of Film and Television. While still a student, the multi-instrumentalist recorded compositions with the Babelsberg Film Orchestra and wrote numerous film scores. Boris has so far collaborated on 5 films with director Aaron Lehmann and has scored numerous other projects, most recently the series Temple for ZDF Neo. We talked to him via video call for this interview. Hi, Boris. Thank you for sitting down with us.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Das schönste Mädchen der Welt came out about 4 years ago, so it's been a while. And I really appreciate you taking the time to sit down with us and give us some insight about the creative process behind writing the score, composing the music for it. But before we delve into the specifics for Das schönste Mädchen der Welt, I wanted to ask you a couple of rom-com genre questions. How do you, as a composer, go about composing the music for a genre like a romantic comedy? Is it any different in regards to the steps that you usually do?
That's a good question. I think yes and no. So there is definitely not a specific answer to this question, but there are overall processes that I relive in every film I score. Mm-hmm. So what is always the same process is you try to get familiar with the material. Of course, you talk a lot with the director or the creators of the film, with the editors and so on. There are so many parts of this process in the creation of a score or a film music that are often the same experience. And of course, when I know that I'm composing music for a rom-com, there is a general idea where this might go or will be tendentially, where it will be going. But the most important thing is actually for me always to sit down with the material, trying to get in the mood, trying to relate to the characters, asking myself, what is the function of my music and so on. And this process actually is the same to a crime movie, and this is the same to a series.
Okay. And in addition to that, would you say it's easier or harder to compose music for a, let's say, maybe a lighter genre like romantic comedy?
Not necessarily, because the idea of music in a rom-com is definitely to illustrate the inner aspects of the characters. And yeah, this is always a very sincere topic and a very thing you really need to think through and to feel. And you cannot just put something on top of it and everything is okay. So I think actually in a crime movie or in an action movie where you have a kind of passage where, you know, it's the music is just here to make noise, mm-hmm. This is actually a lot easier in the beginning because there are so many aspects of music and the nature of sound that are given. But here you really need to get into a place where you feel like the character. And this is not an easy task. It takes time. There's a lot of procrastination involved. There is a lot of course going to my favorite movies, to my favorite scores, to listen to music in general, to read, I don't know, to lie on the sofa. There's a lot of procrastination involved. I often go for walks then when I'm stuck. I show some passages to friends of mine or to my family. I talk with the director again and so on. And there are similarities to every other project because this process of procrastination and to actually trying to compose something and to try out sounds and everything, this is like always the same. But in this specific genre, I think the most important part for me was to really get in the mind space of the main character. Yeah. And that is being young and being in love. And this is very hard. These are very, very heavy feelings.
Yeah, and it's funny because it's very general in a way, because obviously, you know, everybody has been in love, but it's also very specific.
Absolutely.
The film is a lovely mix between comedy and romance and has its dramatic moments as well. And obviously finding that balance can be tricky. And I was wondering, how hard was it for you to balance this in regards to the music or the musical theme?
Absolutely. This was really tricky. We will talk about that later also, but there's a lot of hip hop songs. There's a lot of music already placed in the film before I even went composing the score. So I really had to find these niches. I had to find these places where it is possible to enter the introvert side of the character.
Yeah.
And this took quite a while. And I think you just talked about a musical theme. This was very early in the process. I was convinced that a very simple yet recognizable theme would be a good place to start, because I don't have that much time to ensure that the audience always is in sync with the music that I'm composing. So yeah. Even after 10 minutes or 15 minutes of duration in the film, they need to recognize this again, subconsciously, of course. Yeah. But in between these long distances are really a lot of music happening with licensed song, with hip hop, rap battles, and so on. So I don't know if I answered this question for you, but it was maybe the most challenging part to balance these different aspects, different styles of music in this film, definitely. Mm-hmm.
You did answer the question.
Okay, perfect.
Now let's get a little bit more specific. I always feel it helps to describe ideas, things, films as simple as possible. So how would you describe the musical theme for the film ideally in 3 words?
Maybe I will need 4, but I think a couple of words I already said. I think one would be introvert. Mm-hmm. The second would be, in my opinion, sincere. Mm-hmm. And the third would be heartfelt. And maybe I add as a fourth one, simple.
Yeah.
Simple in meaning not very complex.
Yeah.
This would be maybe my answer in a couple of words.
Nice. Now, you've worked with Aaron Lehmann before the film, and you've worked with him since, so it's safe to say you two like working together.
Definitely, yes.
I think I remember hearing an interview where he told the story where you guys met.
Yeah, this was quite a funny thing, yes, of course.
So, when he first came to you with the script for Das schönste Mädchen, I was wondering, what was your first reaction or your gut feeling when you heard about the project?
Of course, I heard from him that he would be doing this project. And actually, right now, I'm not even sure if I read a script before they went into the shooting. I'm not very sure. But I knew of the fact that there would be involved a lot of hip-hop music and hip-hop songs.
Okay.
And from the get-go, I told him, Aaron, I cannot be dealing with that. This is definitely not my spec. This is not my expertise. You really need to find somebody and someone who is doing that professionally and only that. It is so important with this kind of music when you try to employ pop music culture within a specific genre in a film that it is believable. It would be so embarrassing if I tried to make hip-hop music. This would really definitely would hurt the film. So you need to find these people who did this their whole life. And he found maybe the best people in Germany you can find with Robin and Jorkaev. These are so cool and great people. And it was really a fun to work with them as well. So this was the very first idea when I... Because the script was full of rap battles and songs and ideas where music would be needed, but not one time in a dramatic way, in a way of where you read, okay, this is a classical score scene or so.
Yeah.
So this really was very foreseeable from the beginning, and this is what I told him from the beginning. And then I, and this was maybe a half a year before they went into the shooting, because they needed a lot of time to produce and write these songs.
Yeah.
Because there was really a lot of them were needed. And they wrote even more, I think. But during all this process, I wasn't involved at all, actually. Oh, okay. Yes.
Yeah, because I wondered, when I talked to Aaron for the podcast, he said that, you know, initially when he first got the script, it was more about playing the guitar beside the fire. There was nothing about rap songs in the script. So I guess in a way I was wondering if you were maybe involved in sort of making that decision that it should be that kind of music.
No, not at all. I think this was then only within the people in the distribution company, which was Tobis and Aaron as a director. Actually, then there was a music supervisor involved way before me.
Okay.
Who was then especially for licensing songs.
Yeah.
But actually, I don't really remember how it all fell into place, but I definitely was not involved to go in this hip-hop direction as an expression of this spoken word or this lyrics of the idea of Cyrano de Bergerac, which was the idea for this film, actually, yes.
And talking about Cyrano, obviously, you know, the film uses the blueprint of that play as an inspiration, and that worked out wonderfully. And I was wondering, when you mentioned earlier that, you know, obviously you listen to a lot of music, you read books, you try to look at everything. When you were sort of in the creative process for that film, did you look at any previous Cyrano adaptations, or because it's a modern reimagining, was that something that didn't even make sense?
No, it didn't actually. And I think Aaron told me, please don't do that because we try to do our own thing.
Yeah.
But even if he didn't tell me that, I think I wouldn't got the idea that I have to go there, because these are actually, I don't know how many films on Cyrano de Bergerac are there. I only know this one from 90s with Gérard Depardieu.
Yeah. And there was just, there was a recent one actually with, what's his name? Peter Dinklage, the Game of Thrones. He played the Cyrano character, and Calvin Harrison Jr., who's now in the Joseph de Bourgogne.
Actually, I really didn't try to go in this place because our film was really kind of its own thing, and it was very clear what it is supposed to be. This seldom is for me the inspiration. The last film I did with Aaron was based on a novel, and there it was for me much more important to read the novel before I read the script, because actually I didn't read the script at all. I told him, you know, you made your vision of what the story should be visually and dramatically and what kind of cast and how the colors are and everything. And let me have my vision of the music as well. But this is a little bit of concept in the beginning, which is maybe important so that we take ourselves important. I don't know. But actually, it's the process often or most of the time is the same. You start because the film, when it's there, it has its own feeling. It has its own pace. It has the scope. You get to know these actors who become these characters. And in this case, these were young actors, and for both of the main parts, Cyril and Roxy, it was their first main role or biggest role, and they become quite popular since.
Now, you touched upon the rap songs, and I was wondering, given that this was not a regular composing job, in regards to, you know, you have the score and then you have the rap songs, what made you want to be part of that project?
Aaron and I, we know each other since we started trying to make films, because we met in film school. I think 3 or 4 more years, and we know each other for 20 years. And since that time, we are working together. And long before we became successful in our job, we became friends, very good friends. And we both cultivate our friendship on a professional level it's really a good balance, I think, with the both of us, where we know each other very well. We know how the other one reacts under stress, all these things. So this amount of knowing the other person very well leads to, obviously, I want to be involved in everything he does because we have such a long relationship doing stuff together.
Yeah.
But in this particular film, when it was foreseeable that there's a lot of other music needed that I can't provide, I thought maybe it's good for the both of us to step back from this relationship, not forever, but maybe just to find, and for him especially, because I've worked with a lot of other directors and score like 3 or 4 projects a year, but he's involved with a project for a year or for 2 years. So, and I thought maybe for him it's also a very good experience to work with other people as well. There was no, I have to do this. This definitely it was not. And Jor Kaif and Robin, when they did all the songs, I think it was during the shooting or a short amount of time before they went into the shoot, Aaron called me and said, hey, it's really going well and this is great with these guys. And Jor Kaif, he did a couple of film scores in the last years and he asked if he could do the score. And I told Aaron, that is not my decision to make. If you want to try that, this is maybe the right decision for this film. So a couple of weeks later or months later, I don't know exactly, he called me again and said, listen, I still have the feeling you should be involved with this because there's some kind of emotion missing in the film and I want you to take a look at it. And so, and then I was back in the game. I talked with the executives at the distribution company, which also was the production company in this case. And I composed a small piece where I thought this might be a good addition to this music that is already there. And then I became part of this team. And this was a great experience then because we really, as with Jor Kaif, we really hit it off.
Aaron has described it such that Boris was responsible for the score, for the overall musical dramatic arch. And Jor Kaif and Robin have provided the more specific moods. Do you agree with Aaron's assessment?
Yes and no. Yes, because of course I'm responsible for the dramatic music arc that I provided. But all these songs, even if they are not planning a big scope maybe, but of course they provide something to the dramatic arc. The thing is, the film has like 2 halves, of course, but the first half of the film is much more beat-driven, is much more emphasis on being loud, on being young and foolish and all that. It's a school class, it's teenagers. Look at me. I'm the funniest guy. I'm the coolest guy. I'm the most beautiful girl. I'm that, I'm this, and so on. And this is within the story. There was not so much space for these other colors that I try to provide with my music. There was maybe in the first half of the film 2 or 3 cues from my side with maybe 2 or 3 minutes, I don't know. And in the second half, it was like 20 minutes of my score. So it shifted more to another field or another nature of music. So within that, what I provided, of course, there's an arc and I was responsible for that. I can agree with that, but I think there's a little bit more to it, actually, you know.
Okay. And more specifically regarding your work, and you mentioned a little bit earlier that you didn't read a script before you started. Now, did you start with the characters, with Cyril and Roxy, or did you start with the overall story when you wrote that little piece that you mentioned earlier?
That little piece actually didn't find its way into the film at all. It was okay, maybe just to give the director, the other executives an idea of what my sound would be. And well, this is hard to tell because I'm not sitting on my piano and thinking now I'm working on Cyril. This is not like so. it much more, for me, the question is, what is the nature of my music? What is the nature of my sound? How do I want to feel when my music comes? I think this was the much more important and interesting question, because like what I described just a minute ago, like on the storyline, these teenagers, they are very loud, they are trying to get a lot of attention and everything, and so does all the hip-hop music. It yells, here I am. So the audience accepts and realizes this kind of aesthetic and music through the front door, through the screen. Mm-hmm. It yells at you completely, very offensive and very loud and fun. For me, for my music, much more interesting and important was the question, how do I enter the mind of the audience through the back door? Because I needed to find a sound that unmistakably is not that other aesthetic, so that the audience immediately understands, okay, now I'm supposed to be in a completely other space. And when you enter this to the back door, to the unconscious, you enable for the audience the possibility that they feel the same like our character. So now they are inside and they are unsure. He's unsure about his looks, about all of his appearance and everything. And this is the most important question for me. How does that sound? How does that feel? And in this context, I chose quite a classical solution, because everybody knows how string sounds is supposed to feel. Everybody knows a piano. So we are very quickly entering the realm of cliches, of course, but they are cliches for a reason, because you know them and you accept them immediately. If I'm working on a score that is completely from to beginning my music, I have a lot of more freedom to try this and that. But here in this specific task was the challenge really to find something that works very fast, very quickly, and becomes very unmistakably another aesthetic of sound, of music, where the audience really feels comfortable to be inside of the character's feelings and all that. And you start, of course, trying and finding sounds that make you feel comfortable within that space. And yet there is a lot of tension somehow to illustrate that emotional space where our character is in. And I didn't want it to make too complex, because his finesse is in the spoken word. And if you add a too complex music behind that, it would kind of be the same thing twice. So I just wanted to create a warm and welcoming, yet somehow heartfelt and, like I already said, sincere and introverted space where all these feelings can happen. So there's a room for this. And this was, I think, actually the most important process in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it also, you know, it sort of mirrors Cyril's personality as well, that you have those, as you mentioned, those rap songs, that sort of in-your-face music, which obviously uses when he's behind the mask. And then when he's not wearing the mask, you have this much more emotional, quieter, sincere film music. I'm guessing a lot of people got a glimpse of the world of film music composing, possibly through Nancy Meyers' film Holiday.
With Jack Black being a composer.
But still don't know that much about it. So for the next questions, obviously, please always feel free to talk about your overall process as well. You mentioned the collaboration with Jerkev and Robin Half, how that worked, and how long did the composing process take?
We didn't have that much time, I think. Since so much of the music already was produced before the shooting, I had to be very quick with the rest of it. So when the film was in editing, I already started to create music, and I think when we had the picture lock so that the film was finished. I think maybe I had a month or 6 weeks at tops. Ooh. And including that, I had a string session with an orchestra. There really was not much time. But it was okay, because it was not that much music. I think we have something like 20 minutes of score music. And of course, also I had help. The process with Djorkaeff, with Robin not, because Robin is the spoken word guy. And Robin and Djorkaeff, they work together. And I happen to knew Robin as well. But I worked with Djorkaeff a lot. And there was, especially in the first half of the film, there were a couple of scenes where score music was needed, but it felt unnatural to enter this heartfelt style of music. This happened a little bit later in the film. So there were a couple of scenes where we needed score music, and Djorkaeff and I bounced for and back a couple of ideas. And there are, I think, two or three or four numbers of music where we actually both are the creators.
Okay.
Where it is like a hybrid mix of his hip-hop stuff and a couple of years of instrumental music of mine.
Mm-hmm.
This was the process in this particular film. And actually, in every project I do, it's a new story. This is what's really interesting about my work. You have to find a set of rules for this world you're trying to illustrate with music.
Now, given that authenticity was really important for the film because it's for a young audience. Was there anything that you and / Aaron specifically wanted or didn't want music-wise or were maybe a little bit weary of? You mentioned the clichés earlier.
Yeah, but cliché is maybe too much of a word which gets a negative connotation sometimes. What I didn't mean in this context,
a tradition,
absolutely. So piano for itself is not a cliche, and a string sound also is not a cliche.
Yeah. That
is a hard question, because I cannot speak for all of us, and music is a space where taste is highly individual and subjective.
Do you have a favorite piece of music or song in the film?
My favorite piece of music from my score as well is definitely when Cyril is heading back home. When he's alone in the bus, reflecting of all the things he's done, you really feel his misery. He's coming back home. His sister tries to hug him. He's immediately in his room, closing the door, and his mother comes in and tries to uplift him a little bit, which all this dramatic art, this is like a 3.5 minute piece of music or so. And this was for me the most fun part or the most important piece of music, because they're really, in this scene, you really recognized why we needed a score music. And you are able as a listener or the viewer of the film to be completely in his headspace and completely feel his emotions. And definitely this is my favorite piece of music in the film from my score. Like, there's so many music and all the songs are absolutely fantastic that Djorkaeff did. So it's hard to pick a favorite there.
Obviously you've been working as a composer for a while now. And in your experience, how has the job changed over that time? Has it changed?
It changes all the time, I think.
I mean, aside from let's say technical, you know, innovations, maybe.
The biggest change on the technical side would be almost everything now is done online.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I'm working on a film and all the people are here in Berlin where I live, over 90% of the collaboration and the process works with telephone calls, video streamings, whatever. And I send my music to them with picture. And the COVID situation really accelerated that a lot. But when the dubbing is done in the end of the film, actually, when I started, all the people came to the dubbing stage and were there. This is not happening every time now. This really is maybe the biggest change, I think. So, which of course, has its possibilities on the other hand, because you can work from every place where you have internet.
Mm-hmm. What, in your opinion, is the biggest misconception?
Do you mean within the filmmaking process, within the people who are working on the film, or for the audience? Because I think these are both, okay. Okay, for the filmmaking process, is to find this common ground of communication where you have the feeling, ah, okay, now I understand what he or she means. And I have a feeling of what I can do to provide that. For the audience, it's sometimes, well, the thing I often hear from people I know or people who I talk to when they hear what I'm doing with the music, they often tell me they don't even realize that there's music. Sometimes they ask me, do you do the songs as well? Or how is that? And there's a lot of explaining to do when... I think the biggest misconception is that they don't know how much work it is and how much process of thoughts needs to go into this, and how much frustration and how much time pressure and how much of all these inner processes we deal with are taking place actually until in the end there's 30 or 40 minutes of music for a film.
Absolutely. And I was wondering, do you have any films that you can recommend to our listeners in regards to the music and the score as especially memorable or outstanding?
Maybe I will limit that to the stuff I'm listening to at the moment, because
absolutely,
where to start? We had this big shift into streaming and series a lot regarding to films, and that really is the same for me. I watch a lot of TV series, and there were a couple of them in the last couple of years that really were absolutely amazing and fascinated me. The last one was The White Lotus. I was really thrilled with the music, the series as well. I really loved T-Bone Burnett, who did the score for The Old Man. This is a sensational score because everything is so quiet. And I was listening sometimes to the whole episode after I watched the whole episode. I really closed my eyes and listened to it. And I wondered all the time, this is incredible how amazing the whole aesthetics of sound are, how sometimes you don't hear anything. It is so crystal clear what you are supposed to hear and what not. And this is really great. And I love T-Bone Burnett and his work he did. And I love all this country stuff he did. For example, Crazy Heart, he wrote these songs. This is incredible. I really loved from the last couple of years the Music for Sex Education by Olly Julian. Mm-hmm. This was exceptional, in my opinion. It is so funny, this music. You don't listen to it when you watch the show, but it is so funny. It is so great orchestrated. It is all these, there are so many gimmicks in them. I really love it. I love the music for Mindhunter. Absolutely fantastic. Right now I'm watching this Fleischman is in Trouble on Disney Plus. It's also very great music. Super interesting. And I have the feeling there is a little bit of a shift happening in film scoring as well, where it becomes much more artist-driven, where a certain style of expressiveness, much more like in pop music actually, is supposed to be. And this is kind of interesting, I think.
Trick question, but what is your favorite movie music or a soundtrack? If you can
put it down to one, or maybe two.
Like the overall classics.
One or two from the overall classics. Maybe I have to go with my first one because, you know, before I went into film scoring, I studied cello. And before that, I played like 10 years, 15 years during school time already in orchestras and chamber music. Mm-hmm. And I was a choir boy and everything. So I consumed and played and performed a lot of music. And all of that informs my work. Yeah. This is clear. I cannot answer this question because there are too many. But I remember my first love for film scoring, and I didn't know that I love film scoring. I just was really, I was like 6 or 7 years old. And in the town where I grew up, we had a couple of movie theaters. And one of them showed The Jungle Book. And I remember that I asked every adult person I knew, would you go to this film with me? Because my parents didn't want to go after the third time. So I was so... Now in retrospect, I know it was because of the music. It is this sensational mood you get when you hear these deep flutes and laid back muted trumpets and the string rhythms and everything. The songs of the Sherman Brothers are pure genius, and the music, I think it's George Bruns, he's called. Actually, it's not very popular or known, but everybody knows this film and this music. And this was definitely one of my first most important musical experiences and journeys. Yeah, definitely.
Perfect. We'll take that. And last but not least, can you tell us which project you're currently working on?
I finished a third season of a TV series I'm doing. It's for German television. It's a hospital series. I don't know.
Medical
drama series. And now I'm just about beginning with another series, also for German television. I did a couple of five of these. This is my sixth of these. And after that, I will see.
All right. That was it. Thank you so much for sitting down with us today. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
Deep Dive Genre is produced by German Films, the National Information and Advisory Center for the Promotion of German Films Worldwide. To find out more about our guests, check out the links in our show notes. To stay up to date with our episodes, subscribe wherever you find your podcasts.